Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 43, and the Steelers are getting ready to take on the Cleveland Browns. And Dave, it is 70 degrees and about as pretty a day as you could have right now in western Pennsylvania. And it's going to be nothing like that on the lake 48 hours from now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see indeed how much the weather plays a part in this game on Sunday in Cleveland. Earlier in the week, I know I wrote up a post, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, looking ahead at the forecast and what the weather was going to be in Cleveland. And I think even now it's forecast maybe some snow. Looks like a high of 38, wind 32 miles an hour. So depending on which way you're going with the football, hopefully it's not a crosswind. Hopefully it's either a headwind or a tailwind, because that could play a big role in deep deep passes in this game. And Roethlisberger, of course, said earlier in the week that he was going to be wearing a glove this week in practice and would likely have to wear it during the game so that he could spin the football better. So definitely a little bit of intrigue here with the weather.
Yeah, this is not what the Steelers were looking for in this game. I mean, if it becomes a kind of, you know, you take offense out of the game. Look, the better side of the ball for the Browns is their offense. Obviously, for the Steelers, when both sides are playing at their best, the offense is the better side of the ball. This is a game where you wanted to put kind of 21 on the Browns in the first half and get a nice lead and make Cody Kessler have to wing it around a little bit. And this is just going to make it harder. So, I don't know what to say about it. I don't know how much it'll affect the game plan, but obviously you figure it's going to – if the winds are really blowing 30 miles an hour, you're just going to have a different game plan. It's going to be Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be the Le'Veon Bell show. And for the Browns, Isaiah Crowell's a decent back. They've got they haven't been able to do a great deal on offense, but you got to think they're just going to try to grind it out on the ground as well. And the Steelers, without Cam Hayward, are going to have to, sell out to stop the run and see if they can slow that down. I mean, that's kind of what I'm envisioning, Dave, if this really is kind of the way the weather conditions are going to play out.
Yeah, if you go back and look at go back and rewatch that game against the Ravens as well, too, talking about the Browns. They're already kind of used to playing a lot of small ball anyway. A lot of two tight end sets or one tight end and a fullback back there or having two backs side by side and running some Hank concepts out of that. And, obviously with a rookie quarterback and Cody Kessler, you want – like with most of these rookie quarterbacks, you want him to, quick reads, let him try to get the football out of his hand fairly quick and not have to make a lot of decisions. And boy, when you talk about the Steelers, this is the third rookie quarterback, right, that they're going to face this season. There was a time where we would just sit here and rub our hands together when the Steelers would play a rookie quarterback. But 0-2 so far this year. I think the Browns game plan is going to be line up and try to establish a run here. You know what scares me the most is you go back a couple of years ago in that game that they lost to the Browns, 2014, I believe it was in Cleveland too, right, when Brian Hoyer only completed, eight passes in the game? And they used a lot of those kind of those remember how big a role that the tight ends played in that game? A couple of big catches by who was it, Day and Cameron in that game. That's the kind of stuff.
You mean when the Browns killed the Steelers?
Yeah, and only like I said, only completed eight passes in that game.
Yeah, they threw those couple throwbacks to the tight ends that the Steelers never could cover, and back across the field. That's the game where they missed it. They didn't score on the opening drive, and then they missed a field goal, the bad snap, bad hold. That one where they should have been up 10-0 and they weren't, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if they had a turnover in that game as well, too. But, you know, the big plays ultimately killed them in that game. And, you know, a lot of kind of misdirection stuff in that game. And make no mistake, when you talk about Hugh Jackson, you know, he loves that misdirection stuff. And you got to think he's going back and looking – you know, looking hard and heavy at that game of how Hoyer was able to beat the Steelers there by only completing 8 or so passes. And look, the biggest thing, don't turn the football over and give Cody Kessler and that offense any sort of short field. And as you mentioned, you know, I think they're going to sell out, stop the run. I think, you know, we've heard the reports already that Stephon Tuitt's probably going to move around, probably as you would expect with Cameron Hayward not going to be in there. And just don't give up the explosive plays. This team has given up, you know, this defense has given up quite a few of them the last several weeks, and that's got to stop. You got to make the Browns earn everything that they get and, you know, create some short fields for Roethlisberger and company in the process.
So the questions here, Dave, we haven't seen the injury report, but we basically know what's going on. Everybody's out. You know, everybody who's been on the injured list is going to be out. Darius Heyward-Bey, as we suspected from the beginning, you know, Tomlin made it sound a little bit different immediately following the injury last week. He's not playing this week. He's not playing on Thursday. Marcus Wheaton's not playing this week. He's not playing on Thursday. D'Angelo Williams not playing this week. He's not playing on Thursday. Cam Hayward's going on the IR tomorrow. And we'll see if any of those other guys go on the IR. None of them would surprise me. It doesn't have to be this week, but it wouldn't surprise me at any point in time if any of those three guys go on the injured reserve list. I would think, although not everybody agrees with me, I would think the obvious move for Cam Hayward is to activate Bud Dupree. Who gives a damn about how many outside linebackers you have, because none of them have been good enough to even worry about. If you didn't dress one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. So, you know, get Dupree in there like you did with Darius Green, and maybe he doesn't have a big impact this week, but get him his 10, 15, 20 snaps so that maybe he can have a bigger impact Thursday and he can have a bigger impact going forward. I mean, there are 7 games to go, man. No time like the present. Let's go. So the other – Shamarco Thomas isn't going to play this week. He's not going to play Thursday. The only other guy, I guess Jordan Dangerfield, is the one guy who is a question mark as to, you know, what he'll be able to do.
Needless to say, we'll have something to write about on Saturday, because is it going to be a move or multiple moves? Now, very rarely in the past have the Steelers gone into a game with only 5 healthy defensive or defensive linemen on their 53-man roster. They've done it before, but you know, it's just been few and far between. Even though they only dress normally 5 for a game, you know, they usually like to have 6 of them there in warm-up. So does that mean we'll see a guy like Keshawn Lyons or Johnny Maxey promoted from the practice squad on Saturday? At some point, you have to think that they're
going to – Yes. No doubt at some point here in the next, I would think in the next 4 days, 5 days, you'll see Keshawn Lyons. Yeah, well, I would guess Lyons, but one of those two guys. And that's why it wouldn't surprise me if 2 guys go to the IR, because, look, I guess there's a chance, you know, you just have a straight one-for-one swap and Dupree doesn't get activated and you just activate the defensive lineman. But I'm thinking that Dupree gets activated and then, you know, maybe you have 2 guys go. I saw you tweet this yesterday, and I agree. I mean, there would be no surprise if Marcus Wheaton's put on the injured reserve list on Saturday.
Yeah, I would be. What did I write, Doug? I would color me a bit surprised if he doesn't go on IR on Saturday. Now, you know, we obviously don't know what the doctors have seen. I think Tomlin said earlier in the week that he had a setback, that they were going to have it looked at, yada yada. If it's, you know. At this point, I think the thing that you have to keep in mind, too, is you still need 7 inactives. But on the flip side, you have to remember that if this guy ain't going to help you in the next 4 or 5 weeks and the train has left a proverbial station with him at this point, and maybe you want to take a look at a younger guy such as, you know, DeMarcus Ayers or something along those lines, it wouldn't shock me a bit. So, I mean, and who else? I mean, Shamarco Thomas, this groin, at this point, Shamarco Thomas's middle name should be groin, right? It seems like either that or hamstring, because it seems like year in, year out, it's either or outside of his rookie year. Outside of his rookie year is what, an ankle with him, but you know, he's missed some time with a groin and hamstring injuries. So I mean, he's another one that quite possibly, I don't know, depending on the health of Jordan Dangerfield. And you're right, really, Jordan Dangerfield I think is the only one that, you know, we're really questioning at this point, because Hayward obviously is going to be gone. Hayward Bay's not playing. Marcus Wheaton, it would be a total shock if he plays. And, of course, D'Angelo Williams not playing. Shamarco, you'd think he's not going to play as well, too. So we might only have to guess one guy on the inactive list come Saturday evening here.
Yeah, it was at five, and you got Zach as six, and you pick one.
Brian Mahalik's going to be inactive as well too. So
yeah, so there's your list. That's
Well, I mean, the only question is who's number seven? I think Hayward Bay, Mahalik, Mettenberger.
Well, the injured guys are Hayward Bay, Wheaton, Shamarco, D'Angelo Williams. Is there one more injured guy? I thought we had five injured guys.
Well, and Jordan Dangerfield's a question mark. But
oh, well, right. Cam's going to the IR.
And Cam, okay, so, and Cam's going to the IR.
Okay, so four guys, Mettenberger, Mahalik, and then, you know, pick your guy.
Yeah, and the thing is, you would think if they're going to promote a – you know, I mean, I guess it's possible you could promote either Lyons and Maxey and just have them there, one of the two there for warm-ups, God forbid somebody drip coming off the bus or whatnot, and then you could just choose to deactivate one of those guys. So, well, we'll see. Needless to say, expect some activity on Saturday from the Steelers, and now the question becomes just how much activity as it comes to reshaping the bottom end of that 53-man roster.
So, Dave, what's your level of optimism that the Steelers make the playoffs?
You want me to put a percentage on it?
Sure.
79%, 78%.
It just feels like the mood around this team, and I know the Cam injury has a lot to do with it. I'm not talking about in the locker room, just like, you know, for the fan base, is that this season's done. And you know, even if they make the playoffs, they're going to lose immediately, and there's not a lot of upside here, and the optimism going forward is not what it once was. Is that a fair assessment, or am I coloring this thing a little too dark?
Well, put me in the boat as far as a long playoff run goes. I can't see that happening. I like their chances to make the playoffs because I think there's still a decent chance at winning the division. Yes,
that's it, right? They're not. The wild cards are coming out of the AFC West. It almost looks like a guarantee at this point. I mean, Miami's a dark horse. There's nobody probably coming out of the South, and you wouldn't think anybody else is coming out of the AFC North. So I mean, it's win the division or bust, right?
I think so, and if you are going to make the wild card, you would think it would take a 10-6 record, right? And
hit, right. You're going to win 10 games anyway, and 10's going to win the division.
Right, right. So I don't know, 9-7 might do it. Here's where my optimism comes in for them making the playoffs, and it's obviously centered around the other teams in the division. The Baltimore Ravens have to play Dallas this week, and boy, if you ever wanted to root for the Cowboys, this would be the week to do it. After that, Baltimore plays the Bengals. So one of those two teams, either the Ravens or the Bengals, really can't afford to have that loss. Now then Baltimore plays Miami, which you would think, okay, go ahead and give Baltimore a win against Miami. But then they play New England, and then they play the Eagles. Okay, so I mean, there's two potential losses that the Ravens could, or actually three potential losses that the Ravens could have in the next five games, right? You agree? The Cowboys, I mean, heck, even four. The Cowboys.
I think the Ravens, I don't think the Ravens win more than two games the rest of the way. So.
All right, well, there you go. There's your path. And as long as the Steelers take care of business on Christmas against the Ravens, and they themselves, you know, only lose maybe one or two more games the rest of the year, not in the division, Well, there you go. I mean, I think the Ravens. I'm with you. I think the Ravens could very well at least lose three, if not four more games. And if they lose four more, they're going to go 8-8, right?
Yeah. I'm not worried about the Ravens, honestly. I think the Steelers will take care of – that'll be done this week. Steelers win, Ravens lose. Okay, they got a game because they beat them head-to-head. But you look at the Ravens' schedule, they got New England. They're I'm not worried about the Ravens. I'm more worried about the Bengals, honestly, than the Ravens.
And I mean, I admit it, though. Of all these teams in the AFC North right now, I sure wish I had the Ravens' defense. I will give them that. And boy, what an intriguing matchup they're going to have. We'll see just how good that run defense of theirs is on Sunday against Dallas. And if they're able to stop that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott. Here's the rest of the Bengals schedule, David. The Buffalo Bills this weekend. That game could go either way, right? I mean,
yeah. The loser there is going to really. That's going to be a brutal loss because they're both. Hanging by a thread. It's like New Orleans lost last night. I mean, it's just they're done.
All right, so. And then the Baltimore Ravens after that. What? I mean, what a big
somebody loses.
Yeah, or I don't know. Bengals have one tie already. And then the Eagles. Boy, that Eagles defense can get after a quarterback, can't they? And you know, I mean, that's a potential loss for the Bengals. Then there's the Browns. Let's hope the Browns, you know, can do something. Finally, and get a win along the way here, you know, maybe, and then the Steelers after that, and then the Bengals close out their season against the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. So how many, you know, out of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, they have, what, 7 more games left? How many games are the Bengals going to lose?
They're going to lose three.
All right, so that means they go 7-8-1, right?
Yeah, that doesn't do it.
What if they go 8-7-1?
If the Steelers can't win the division, if the Steelers can't win 9 games, they don't. You know, like, look, it is what it is. You know, sometimes the division's tough, sometimes it's not. If the Steelers don't win 9 games, I mean, that's, you know. If they don't win this weekend, can you imagine?
No.
Mike Tomlin was talking about popcorn on Tuesday. It won't be popcorn, man. It'll be fireworks if they lose this.
It'll be a lot of burnt popcorn, won't there?
Man, that press conference on Tuesday will be something to see if the Steelers don't win this game. And man, oh God.
You think Twitter and emails and comments on the sites and talk radio and everything that goes along with that is bad. The Steelers are really almost in a no-win situation if you think about it this week because, let's face it.
Oh, yeah. You know, every one of these games is a no-win situation because, you know, you lose, they're going to get killed. If they win, they're supposed to win, and they're supposed to win in dramatic fashion. I mean, you know, it's going to be the same in Indy. I mean, Thanksgiving.
I mean, look, I mean, if they don't kill the Browns 35-13, there's going to be some complaining this next week, right?
And
like you said, God forbid if they lose. Where's your optimism? I put mine at what, 79%? Where's your optimism that this team will make the playoffs?
I think they make the playoffs because of the schedules and the division. Yeah, I mean, I think they do. It's, you know, I've been optimistic that they can be a very good team, and you know, there are three things driving my lack of optimism right now. Ben's erratic play, first and foremost. He's been bad on the road, so you know, we'll see what he does this week on the road, and the team's erratic play on the road. Okay, so that's one. Two, this whole wide receiver thing is a disaster that I didn't foresee at all. I figured, you know, and maybe Ladarius Green kind of impacts that in a positive way, but I don't get it with Eli Rogers, why he's not been targeted and playing more. I understand the injury in the Eagles game, but that's now, you know, 4 weeks he's been healthy. Sammy Coates can't figure out how to run a route. I mean, he's not running the right routes these days. That's ridiculous. You know, he's at the point now where you say, okay, did we just happen to have a, you know, little bit of a flurry with Sammy Coates, you know, for 4 or 5 weeks and that's it? Because I am not, you know, if you can't figure out how to run routes and you know where to be, because that's clearly a big part of why he's not on the field. That's a big issue. So that's two. And then three is just a complete lack of a pass rush. And I'll still stand by what I say. This secondary is not that bad. It's not the secondary that's killing the Steelers. It's the lack of a pass rush that's killing the Steelers.
But that's been the case the last 3 years, right?
Well, right. And I thought, you know, what I thought was, well, I guess what I'm surprised about, they didn't have good outside linebackers last year, but they still had the 48 sacks. And now, you know, now they're not creating turnovers or getting sacks. And I'm glad to see Sean Davis and Artie Burns in there. And I'm very hopeful that we see Bud Dupree in there. But without Cam, I don't know, you know, Ricardo Matthews, maybe it was just maybe preseason's preseason. It's just a smokescreen. I thought he would be a bigger contributor. I thought we'd see more. And look, I realize the nose tackle isn't going to be a stats guy, but I thought we'd see more dynamic plays from Javon Hargrave. We really haven't seen that. We haven't seen much from Javon Hargrave. I'm not saying he's playing terribly, and, you know, judging defensive line play and offensive line play, that's the hardest thing for me to do. But he hasn't been a dynamic guy. And, you know, the guys in the secondary, as they say, they're not bad, but they haven't been great. They certainly haven't been, you know, playmakers. So, that's the one that was probably easiest to see in July or August, and it hasn't changed.
My optimism concerning the Steelers' defense prior to the start of the season, why I thought this team might be able to compete for a Super Bowl, was around the fact that I thought the offense would be absolutely one of those that could hit 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 points a game, and thus do that early in the games where you were setting up situations for your defense to succeed, a la the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the kind where you just jump on a team and you get them out of the game plan, and then you can just pretty much dictate, you know, what you want because you get the opposition out of the game plan. Really, we haven't seen that outside of the game against the Chiefs this year, and I would like to see that again this Sunday against a team like the Browns, where you jump on them, you got unfavorable weather conditions and that kind of thing, you know, those kind of things. But you're right. I mean, did any of us see Wheaton missing the time that he was going to miss? Not that none of us was framing Wheaton to go to the Pro Bowl, but, you know, 50 receptions I don't think was going to be out of the question.
60 catches, 800 yards seemed to be kind of just a normal number. I mean, now it's going to be 6 for 80.
And then you feed in Sammy Coates where you can, and Darius Hayward-Bay as deep ball guys. And then, oh, yeah, you got a young guy in Eli Rogers that you can kind of work in along the way. You got one of the best, if not the best, pass-catching running back in the league in Le'Veon Bell that you can use. You got a lot of high draft picks tied up in this offensive line. You added Ladarius Green, yada, yada, yada. You know, that's really my optimism was centered around the offense making the defense better. You know, that kind of thing. Now, here we are. I don't know if you saw.
Let me throw one stat at you. If you want to be slightly optimistic, here's a stat for you. How about this? The teams that have beaten the Steelers are 30-15. They all have winning records. And the Steelers have beaten the Chiefs and the Redskins, who also have winning records. So, you know, the Steelers have played, you know, it's just factually, they have played one of the most difficult schedules in the NFL. You know, I was looking at Football Outsiders has their own rankings of how to rank things. And people will probably be surprised that they're ranked weighted DVOA, which is their metric that they use. The Steelers are ranked 11th. The teams that have beaten the Steelers are, I think, one, you know, believe it or not, the Eagles are one. Dallas was three. New England's 4 or 5, Miami's 6, and the Ravens were like 15. So, you know, they've lost to teams, you know, 4 teams in the top 6 and all teams in the top half. So, you know, I don't know what's that worth. It's worth nothing. It's worth being 4-5. That's what it's worth. But, you know, in the 9 games they've played, they haven't played patsies.
Yeah, well, you know, they call almost winning. Yeah. I get where you're coming from, and I see how you're kind of trying to frame that. But look,
they didn't almost win any of those games. You know, maybe the Dallas game, but I mean, it's just the fact of the matter is the schedule does get easier. You get Cleveland twice, you get Buffalo, you get You get Indy, forgetting somebody.
Well, you get the Giants too. I mean, look, you get
Giants aren't going to be a piece of cake. They're 6-3.
Yeah, I mean, look at the quality of quarterbacks that you're going to be playing after the Cleveland game. Andrew Luck. I mean, yeah. I mean, they what do you think?
He's having a good year.
What do you think about all the teams with guys that would be considered bona fide top 10 quarterbacks this year? Talking about the Packers, talking about the Saints, talking about the Colts. Who else?
Carolina, Pittsburgh.
Who are we leaving out there that not having a having a sub 500 season here? San Diego, Phillip Rivers, right? 4-6.
Yeah. Arizona.
What is Arizona's record right now?
4-4-4-1.
No, 4-4. Yeah, 4-4-1.
4-4-1.
Yeah. I guess it goes to show you that you need just a little bit more than a franchise quarterback, right? Probably need some defense to play along in there as well. And the Steelers certainly haven't gotten that this year. And
it shows you that just because you're a franchise quarterback doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a great year. I mean, you look at it and take, whatever metric you want to use. We can use QBR, which I've started to like as they keep tweaking that. I mean, here's the top 10 in QBR. Tom Brady's 1, Dak's 2, Matt Ryan's 3. All those guys having good years. Drew Brees is 4. Stafford's having a great year. He's 5. Surprisingly, Rodgers is 6. Tyrod Taylor's 7. Luck is 8. Rivers is 9. Roethlisberger's 10. Carr's 11. Cousins 12 and Russell Wilson's 13. I mean, those are the guys you would think of as mostly the top quarterbacks, but they're not ordered the way you would order them at the beginning of the year. And, you know, if Ben's having the 10th best season, well, that tells you something.
Yeah. And boy, I mean, look, you got 7 games left. You've got a lot of young. I'm going to try to paint as optimistic of a picture as I can right now. We saw the breakdowns in the game against the Cowboys, and look, here we are 30 minutes into this podcast. We haven't even talked about Jarvis Jones, the shuffle between James Harrison and Jarvis Jones, but make no mistake, there were some guys that were not in the place that they were supposed to be on defense during that final drive. The face mask on Sean Davis, while inadvertent and accidental as it may have been, certainly hurt, but they still had to kick the field goal at that point. And then, you give up the run that they did. Anyway, back to painting as optimistic of a picture as I can. You've gotten Artie Burns and Sean Davis a lot more snaps now. Both those guys are going to be entrenched as your starters moving forward. You've gotten Javon Hargrave quite a few snaps. You got a guy in Stephon Tuitt that can play on either side. And say what you will about the defense this year, I think Stephon Tuitt's played well. So there's something to build on. You've got Ryan Shazier's been able to keep himself healthy and on the field at this point. Right now, keep your fingers crossed that continues. And when he is, he can knife through and make the kind of plays that put opposing offenses behind the chains. You've obviously got question marks there at the other defensive end spot that we'll see if they can answer. If they would just quit giving up these weird kind of explosive plays, if you will. I call them weird because, I mean, 80-something yard screenplay on 2nd and 18, a 3rd and whatever it was, 50-yard pass to Dez Bryant, a slant, a 7-yard slant to Mike Wallace that ends up going to the house, a couple of long runs by Elliott. You know, these are things that I'd feel much better about getting beat over the top, than I would maybe the way some of these explosive plays have happened. So can these young guys make markable improvements during the second half? And can the offense, with Ladarius Green back on board now, can this offense start doing exactly what they did against Dallas? I mean, let's face it. Prior to that game against Dallas, I was saying, David, boy, get this offense to start fast for a change and get the ball into the end zone. They did that on their first two drives. I mean, if you would have taken both of our temperatures after the first what? First, prior to that 80-something yard touchdown, we'd probably like the Steelers' chances of winning that game maybe. But there is some optimism here, and now it's up to both sides to make that happen in the final seven games. I mean, at worst they can go what, 6-1?
Oh, they can go 5-2 and maybe get in. But,
5-2, you know, depending on who the 2 or 2, right?
Yeah, you don't want them to. You don't want them to be the Ravens.
You don't want them to be in the division. So you better win this week, and then there is some optimism there when it comes to the defensive side of football. However, I'm still not convinced. I'm going to have to really, really see a lot in the last seven games to think that if this team does make the playoffs, that they can maybe get Pat, you know, make a deep run to Houston.
Hey, Steelers fans, the mortgage process can be challenging. Sometimes it's difficult as spelling Roethlisberger or stopping the Cowboys' offense. Let our buddy Craig Oxen guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even if it's in Cleveland. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give Craig a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. It's Craig Oxane. Today, 855-961-7763, 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
Let me ask you this: Do you play James Harrison now? Do you run his wheels off now at this point?
No, I don't think. I mean, if you're playing 65 defensive snaps, it's 38 and 20, 27 or something. It's just, you know, he's going to get a couple more snaps. The thing to me is the fact that they made a commentary about it. I mean, you know, these guys are all playing about the same number of snaps, roughly, you know, within, you know, one guy playing 40 and one guy playing, you know, 32, or one guy playing, you know, 35 and the other guy playing 27. It hasn't been a big disparity, and it's to me, it's a little bit, they made it an issue of it. Okay, so that's notable. I mean, you can kiss Jarvis Jones goodbye. I mean, his Steeler career will be over after this season. And Dave, the question now is, you know, Lawrence Timmons, I've assumed all along, I think Lawrence Timmons is gone. Harrison's gone. Jones is gone. You get Dupree back. You're going to have Chiglo and Motes on the team. But, I mean, they're going to have to go into free agency, I think, because you can – how many guys are you going to be – you know, how many first-round draft picks can you have? I mean, you need help. You need help at the – Vince Williams will take over for Timmons. Okay, fine. But you need one or two edge rushers. You assume Dupree comes back. You get a corner in Golson, so that's a benefit. I don't know that you need to draft in the secondary, depending on what you feel about Gilbert, maybe a safety later. But you have to draft at linebacker. You have to draft at defensive line. You probably have to draft at wide receiver and running back. You're probably okay at offensive line. I mean, it's clear as day today where the Steelers need to go in the draft.
Yeah, and the thing is how, when you do draft those guys, how long is it going to take you to get them in there where they're contributing and you know, and becoming a double-digit kind of sack guy, you know? And that's why I kind of framed this thing. People, I think, are thinking, I just want to throw Le'Veon Bell out of town. I just wanted to present an option. And look, I'm well aware of the Steelers' history when it comes to free agency and making splashes. Ladarius Green on a 4-year, $20 million contract on the first day of free agency was considered a big Steelers splash. Mike Mitchell, when he signed that 5-year, what, $25 million deal several years ago, that was considered a huge splash. Are you going to be able to get one of the top edge rushers top free agent edge rushers, still young with several years left in him, for a modest kind of price. And I don't.
Well, no. Of course, you're not going to get a good player for a modest price, right?
So, right. A game-changing guy. And that was my whole premise of thinking that maybe you decide not to franchise Le'Veon Bell, and all. Because, I mean, realistically, you better if you do franchise Bell, it's probably going to be hard to get a long-term deal done with him, without some decent guaranteed money involved. And then what's the kind of the expectancy of running backs, who have X amount of carries, after the first, 3 or 4 years there. So it's not that I don't think Le'Veon Bell is a great running back, because I obviously do. I mean, he does things that a lot of backs in this league can't do. And, he can give you a lot of snaps too, as long as he's healthy and not out, not in trouble with the league office. The question becomes, though, how much money can you continue to dump into the offense with these long term deals and not pay attention to the defensive side of the ball? Because you're probably going to have to get a deal done with Stephon Tuitt this offseason, right?
Yeah, this offseason you're backing up the truck. I mean, you got Antonio Brown, you got Tuitt, you've got Shazier. I mean, it's going to be expensive.
Well, the Shazier thing, all you have to do is decide whether or not you're going to give him his fifth-year option. You don't necessarily have to give Shazier a deal, this offseason. But, I mean, Tuitt, you're definitely going to have to make a decision with. Antonio Brown, he's going to get his money, Do you go ahead and invest $12 million, a season in a guy like Bell, or do you maybe instead kind of dump that on the defensive side of the football? And regardless, you still have to, I think, draft a couple of edge rushers early on top of it. So I think people are salary cap has a funny way of working its way out. You can cut here, you can cut there. You can usually sign the guys that you want to keep. But if there, it goes back to what you said. If there was ever a year to kind of break tradition and be the team out there that strikes on the first day of the new league year with an edge rusher paying them $14 million, this offseason would probably be the year to do it. Because I mean, it's been forever since we've seen a double digit sack guy, and there's not enough there for us to think that Bud Dupree can be that guy that can deliver you 12 quality.
Jury's out on Bud Dupree. I mean, we saw him play, three quarters of a season.
And, 12 quality sacks a year. I'm talking about quality sacks. I'm not talking about sacks.
12 quality sacks is good, gets you to the Pro Bowl, so that would be awfully good.
Right. I'd settle for 10 quality sacks.
I think right now we'd settle for 6. I mean, somebody give him 6 or 8. So, Dave, the conversation that's going to happen again now, and this is less of an argument than just defining things, is, structure of the defense. And they don't play a 3-4 anymore. So, we can call different things whatever we want and sub-package football is just, it just becomes common nomenclature now. But that's not what they play. And so, there's going to be a question here as to whether the Steelers start to draft differently and look for something else. Whether they want to play more.
To go along with what you're saying, Travis Feeney kind of didn't fit that mold, right?
I don't know what Travis Feeney fit, to be honest. He probably fit more as a traditional 4-3 linebacker.
Well, yeah, more of a maybe a specialty edge or something like that. Boy, light in the pants, and I'm not even considering him. To me, anything you get out of Travis Feeney right now is a plus. But it wouldn't surprise me just the same if he's, out of Pittsburgh, sooner rather than later on top of it. But I understand.
The only guy on the IR that, there are two guys on the IR that I spend any time thinking about it. Gerald Hawkins, the fourth round pick this year, and Senquez Golson. So nobody else on theirs.
Yeah.
Anybody that I waste any time thinking about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And hopefully Hawkins, you know, pans out. You know, moving forward, and Golson, shake your eight ball up when it comes to there. I mean, it's anybody's guess after a couple of years due to injury here. But I see where you're coming from. But on the flip side, you know, your personnel. I mean, Cam Hayward really is a 4 or 5 technique. You know that. I mean, that's what he is. Now, with that said, you can play a lot of hybrid stuff. Look, the Ravens have been doing it for years, right? You know, kind of just give me guys who can play, and we can kind of formulate around them what we have. You know, so many teams now run, you know, kind of run these 3-4, and that's why, you know, you're not able to get these. I'd much rather draft a player that was a defensive end that's maybe undersized, that you can try to convert to an outside linebacker, than maybe a guy that spent most of his time on his feet, if that makes sense. And Bud Dupree really spent a lot of time, you know, last couple of years at Kentucky kind of on his feet, right? So I don't know. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of people hollering for the Steelers need to make a change, you know, finally once and all for all to go to a 4-3. And I would now understand that. The thing is if that's the case, why'd you draft? Why have you been drafting the way you've been drafting?
So you look at the first round of the NFL draft from this past year. You go through the guys. Jared Goff's obviously going to get his first start. You'd say Winston was a good pick. Bosa's a great pick. Elliott's a great pick. Jalen Ramsey hasn't been what he's expected to be. Ronnie Stanley, we saw him play. Harrison ate him up, but okay. I haven't seen DeForest Buckner in San Francisco at all. Jack Conklin's been good for the Titans. I think Floyd's been okay in Chicago. Eli Apple, kind of mixed reviews, along with Vernon Hargraves in Tampa, very mixed reviews. Rankins just got activated by the Saints. Laremy Tunsil's going to be really good in Miami. I've heard that Carl Joseph's been okay in Oakland, Dave. You probably have a better sense of that than I do. Corey Coleman, when he's been on the field, has been okay for Cleveland. Decker, I have no idea, in Detroit. Keanu Neal, he's hurt now, right? But he was playing okay for the Falcons.
Well, he can deliver a pop.
Ryan Kelly in Indianapolis center, I have no idea. Shaq Lawson's been injured a bit for the Bills. Darren Lee's been okay for the Jets. You're getting down into here where I don't know about some of these guys. Laquon Treadwell's not played at all for the Vikings. William Jackson's been hurt for the Bengals. Doxson in the Redskins, I don't think, has done a ton. And Artie Burns is a guy. You say, okay, you know, you're going to look at snaps at the end of the year, and he's going to be pretty high on the list of guys in terms of what they did. Paxton Lynch, obviously a backup in Denver. Robert Mdichie hasn't done anything in Arizona.
Vernon Butler, is he hurt now?
Vernon Butler, yeah. I think he was doing – and Ogba's been, you know, done a little bit in Cleveland. But you look at the kind of the guys who went in the first round, and, you know, you got to say, honestly, the guys at the top did a pretty good job. It is the guys at the top of the draft who have been the impact guys. And, you know, you go down the list, and I'd say probably Tunsil, Joseph, you know, a few other guys there. We'll see. But the Steelers are going to need Artie Burns to be – and you know what? The Steelers are giving Artie Burns the chance to be kind of all of that. They're letting him play man press and doing some things they haven't done. So it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of continues. But he's getting his opportunity. And I look at that as a positive.
Yeah, with both these young kids, at least – at the very least, whatever happens during these final 7 games – you got your top 3 draft picks on the field. So, and you got them playing time. And I mean, Sean Davis, say what you will about you know, the face mask penalty. He did some good things in the game against Dallas. I'll admit that. The key with him now is can he tackle, and can he be in the, you know, in the right place at the right time. And you go back to that game against the Ravens, right, on one of those explosive plays there. It looked like he lined up you know, in the wrong spot on one of those plays. So it's getting these guys out there. And I think Keith Butler said it best on Steelers Nation radio interview is, you know, yeah, you got these guys get out there and they make these mistakes and you hope they learn from them and they don't make them again. And it's a lot easier to teach a guy with him on the field in real game situations than it is in a classroom or on the practice field. So at the very least, I guess, coming out of this year, regardless of what happens, you say, well, you got to see those young secondary players a lot of experience. Now will they hold up for a front seven that can't get any pressure on the opposing quarterback?
Okay, so here's one other thing. Just I want to throw out there. If everybody didn't understand this, a lot of what Ben Roethlisberger has been talking about over the last week has been directed at Antonio Brown. So, you know, the fact that Antonio Brown can't figure out this out-of-bounds thing at the end of the game and won't just let that go and say, yeah, I should have stayed in bounds and just move on is idiotic. But when Ben's talking about being on time and being in meetings when you're supposed to be, being in the huddle when the horn sounds, that kind of stuff, that's directed at Antonio Brown. And I just want to make that clear so that people understand. I mean, it's not just Eli Rogers and Sammy Coates. I mean, this is the diva receivers getting a little bit of stuff. And I do think Antonio Brown's going to be back, but I think that Antonio Brown's stuff is wearing a little bit thin on some people in the organization.
But, I mean, it's not just him, though, right? I mean, I see where you're coming from, and I can see where it rubs.
Well, I just want to make it clear that it is largely him. Yes, it is largely him. It's not his offensive line. It's not Le'Veon Bell. I mean, it's the young guys, a little bit the young guys. And I can't speak to whether he is speaking to the defense. I would think not, but I can't answer that. But I can just tell you that I don't know that I've made it clear that this is a fair bit of this is directed right at Antonio Brown.
Well, I mean, I'm not there. I mean, you evidently talked to a few people and that's the way you think it's going, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Look, he's still it's still hard. I mean, he's still the best, one of the best in the game, and you still wouldn't, you can't see them. Let me ask you this. I mean, they're going to re-sign him, right? I mean, you can't see them not giving him a big deal, right? Is there any part of you that thinks they might not give him a big deal?
There, for the first time, there is a small part of me that wonders if they would have the conversation of franchising him.
Oh, in other words, wait until after his final year, and then the following year decide whether or not to franchise him.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of what Art did this year and the conversation they had, they have already painted themselves into a corner to give him a deal. So I expect that to happen, but maybe instead of 100%, I'm 96%.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when have we ever known the Steelers to pay top positional money to a running back or a wide receiver?
Well, you know, that's history is less my guide than it is your guide in terms of these things.
I had to throw history out the door when they drafted Artie Burns
right.
In the first round.
So, you know, you don't do it until you have to do it. So, we haven't been in a situation where they've had that guy like Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, who are clearly, you know, one of the just a small handful of best at their position. They haven't had that. They haven't really had that, right? Hines Ward was never really that guy. And they didn't have a running back who was that guy. So, you know, this is a different situation.
Here's the thing with Antonio Brown and his contract right now and all the shuffling that's gone on. You know, his cap number next year is going to be over 13 million as it stands right now, and almost 9 million. It's guaranteed to at least be $9 million due to all the stuff that was moved around. Now, here's the thing: he is scheduled to make now $4.71 million in 2017. He is not going to play for $4.71 million. We know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd sit out the season before he plays for $4.71 million. So you've got to give him a deal. And, I mean, that's the way they've kind of painted this thing, that they're going to give him a deal. And one would have to think that it's going to be up there leading the league, you know, that $13, $14 million a season, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, they kind of painted themselves into this corner with this thing, and now, you know, that outside of trading them and you lose, you know, you're going to take a heck of a dead money cap or dead salary cap situation if you do that. Yeah, they have to re-sign him. Now, as far as dealing with his diva-ness and all like that, I mean, that's we can make a whole podcast about that.
All right, let's make our picks and move forward as
on to Cleveland. I got
one right last night.
I got one right last night.
Nice.
Well, we couldn't have done that. Three and a half. So you were saying you were going off of off of what type of line?
What was the final score?
It was a 3-point game.
We were doing three?
Three,
okay.
Three and a half.
That's fine.
I turned into Allen. And
okay, I got it wrong then. Forget it. I had the Cavs. I had the
and
Panthers.
I finally got one right on a Thursday night, which is a rarity, and that one I'll take. A cover is a cover is a cover. It certainly wasn't looking good during that game. But okay, on to the rest of the games this week.
All right, Indianapolis -3 versus Tennessee. This will be a fun game to watch. The Titans have all of a sudden become an interesting team, and you know, definitely there's a team. There's a team we can pick. The arrow is pointing up for the Titans, and you know what? I'll take them. Why not?
I'll take Indianapolis to cover at home with Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton, and they're coming off of a bye too, right? Indianapolis is.
Yep.
Give me Indianapolis to get back in this thing.
Detroit giving 6.5 to the Jags. Lions are at home. I heard some insane stat. The Lions are 5-4, and they haven't led in their wins until the last 90 seconds. That's unbelievable. I know they've been behind in all 9 games in the fourth quarter. The Jags are – Gus Bradley, it's just a matter of coaching out the string here. He's done. They've been maybe the biggest disappointment in the NFL, more so than the Steelers and the Packers, I think. I mean, you know. But I'll take the Lions.
I will as well. Boy, Blake Bortles, need to get him over to see George, the quarterback guru, right? He's a hot mess. He's a hot mess right now. So I'm with you. Give me Detroit. Lay those points.
Chiefs laying 7.5 at home against the Bucks. Give me Jameis and 7.5. Seems like
wow. You know, geez, on the road. Give me Kansas City and that defense. Alex Smith do just enough. I'll take the Chiefs to cover at home.
7.5 for the Giants as well at home against the Bears. The Bears stink. Give me the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants are playing decent football right now. They're starting to get sacks too. That's something like the Steelers that they struggled during the first part of the year. Give me the Giants at home to cover that number.
I don't really understand this line. The Vikings -2.5 at home against the Cardinals. The Vikings are a disaster. The Cardinals haven't been much better. So I'll take the Cardinals because I think they might be a decent team. And right now, I sure don't think the Vikings are. So I'll take the points on the road.
Yeah, they're starting to have problems on the defensive side of football as well as, you know, what's been going on the offense. Boy, if Bruce Arians and the Cardinals lose this one, you know, this is a team a lot of people thought going to come out of that side and compete maybe with Seattle for the NFC championship game there. Give me Arizona to win this one outright as well.
Bills and the Bengals. Bengals -2.5. I got to say I'm surprised the Bengals lost to the Giants. I will be more surprised. I like the Bills, but I'd be more surprised if the Bengals lose this one. It will end their season, basically. So give me the Bengals.
I'm going to take the Bills in this one to win this one outright. Maybe a little bit of kind of bias, wishing and bias against the Bengals here. Maybe Rex can do something to shut down that offense right now.
Dak in Dallas giving 7 to the Ravens. Give me the Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys. Go Cowboys.
I had a bad dream about this game last night. I mentioned earlier in the podcast that Ravens run defense isn't bad. Something tells me they're going to find a way to help minimize that running game and put this a little bit more on Dak. And the Ravens have a good secondary too, David. As much as it pains me to go against my wishes here, not only am I going to take Baltimore plus the points, I'm going to pick Baltimore to upset Dallas on the road.
Okay. The Dolphins get two in L.A. Jared Goff making his first start. Give me Goff and the Rams.
I can't do it. Give me my – I know Miami's on the road here. Just give me Miami to win this one by three.
Miami dark horse playoff team. Patriots getting 11 in San Francisco. Give me the Patriots.
Boy, no Gronk right in this one, probably. And I don't know how long Gronk's going to be out, but it shouldn't matter. This should be New England just steamrolling over Chip Kelly and the 49ers in this one. So 49ers to cover on the road. Patriots to cover on the road.
Eagles plus 6.5 in Seattle. Give me the Eagles. Their defense is really good. Low-scoring game here. Seattle wins, but the Eagles cover.
Oh, wow. Against Wentz, having to play in Seattle, I can't do it. Give me Seattle at home to cover.
Packers getting three on the road at the Skins. Nobody would have believed this 6 weeks ago. And I'm going to take the Skins.
I'll take the Packers to snap out of this one. Aaron Rodgers throws three touchdowns in this game and no interceptions. So give me the Packers to win this one outright on the road.
An interesting Monday night game, I guess. The Texans get six in Oakland. Texans defense is good. I'll give them that. Their offense, they have scored. The Niners have scored 14 touchdowns, I think. And the Texans... and I think the Ravens have scored 15. And no, the Bears have scored 14. You get the point. They're not scoring a lot of points. So I think the Raiders get it going, and the Raiders offense does score some points in this. So I'll take the Raiders minus
six.
Yeah,
I'll take the Raiders as well, too, in this one. Even though Oakland, believe it or not, Oakland's right down at the bottom of the league as far as sacks go. Who saw that coming? I like the way Carr's playing. I think Houston's slightly overrated, especially with Osweiler at quarterback there. So I'll go with you on this one. I'll lay the points with Oakland in this one.
All right, remember, Steeler Nation, mortgage rates are currently near all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, or purchase a vacation home, or just refinance, contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. Lifelong Steeler fan, a Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender. Love the opportunity to help you out. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399. Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Okay, Dave, 7.5 seems to be the number for the weekend. A lot of the games at 7.5. The Steelers are 7.5 point favorites. Weather conditions... obviously going to be a factor here. Another rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks. The Steelers have faced two this year. They put up 69 points between them. Who would have believed that? So that hasn't been a factor. Shawn Davis gets to start with Artie Burns, the two guys back there for the first time starting together. I think we'll see Bud Dupree. I'll be interested to see the roster moves they make yesterday. I don't feel very good about this team, but I can't see them losing this game. So I'm going to give it to the Steelers 27-17.
Yeah, we really didn't spend a lot of time kind of previewing it as far as X's and O's go. But, you know, the Browns will play a lot of man on the outside on early downs with a one deep safety type of look. They'll try to get you in situations of behind the chains where they'll drop two safeties back, that kind of thing. They've got a nice a decent front up there led by Danny Shelton. Obviously this will be another time for us to look at Jamie Collins, who really has kind of fit in well. They're moving him around a lot offensively, as already said. I would expect them to use, especially with this weather, a lot of only two wide receiver sets on early downs, trying to stay ahead of the chains. They'll look to try to get their tight ends. Duke Johnson, that's a guy we haven't talked about. That guy scares the heck out of me when he lines them up, when they line them up outside. Look for them to do that kind of stuff. Look for Hugh Jackson to try to play a lot of the misdirection game, a lot of this small ball as well, too. As far as my thoughts on the game, David, I hope to God we're not talking about another loss here on Monday, because the bulk of narratives that we're going to have to address will just spin our heads. I think the Steelers are able to, without Cameron Hayward, I think they're able to stop the run in this game, because I think they should be able to get after that Browns offensive line. Cody Kessler, I just, he's going to have to make some plays. Dak Prescott, he is not. I'm not, I know they have Pryor over there, and I know they got Coleman over there. Their receiving weapons really don't scare me over there for the most part. I think for once we're talking about a win in several weeks here on Monday, David, and I think we're talking about a big win as well, too. I think the Steelers find a way to capitalize on some turnovers in this game. Steelers 30, Browns 10.
Okay, good.
Did I shock you?
No, that would be make everybody.
Yeah, we'll see. I like we said earlier, I don't even want to fathom what the mood and what we're going to have to talk about on Monday should they lose again and let the Browns get their first win of the season. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com and hit the donate button in the upper right navigational bar. And, David, we'll do this again on Monday, and hopefully for the first time in more than a month, talk about a win.
All right. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.